Yeah, he was in the foreign ministry for many, many decades. And Shomer Shabbos, when he was in the foreign ministry, it was rare to see Shomer Shabbos in positions of importance. And Baruch Hashem. Okay. Gentlemen, let me begin. Eat slowly, Ephraim. Enjoy breakfast, and the trick of eating is to eat slowly. Today is Monday, January 31st, 2011. And as I said, walking into class, all eyes are on Egypt, including the eyes of Israel, but Baruch Hashem, we can learn. Today's an important class. And as I said last week, and I just repeated very quickly, first of all, I want to tell you that Professor Velvel Green pops up again. I'm holding in my hands a recent issue of the Hamodia magazine, and there he is, an interview with him, essentially all the facts as we stated in class, but you can see that he's a real personality. That's what he looks like today, and this is a picture of what he looked like in the 1960s at the University of Minnesota. So Velvel has come a long way. As far as it's Reuben asking what's his real name, doesn't say, calls him Velvel. I would imagine it's William, just thinking. William is Zev, and Zev in Yiddish is Velvel, and he was raised in a Yiddish-speaking home.
William is Zev.
Velvel is Zev, yeah.
No, Velvel is Zev. How's William Zev?
Generally speaking, that's the name. If you know someone named Zev, you'll see that his name in English is William. But I may be wrong, but generally speaking.
But they were Yiddishists when they were growing up.
Yeah,
They may have given
them a Yiddish name, although growing up in Toronto at that period, I doubt if they only gave them a Yiddish name. They probably gave them an English name too. It's not today. And they're Yiddishists. They're not religious Jews. There's a difference. Now, so I made the point last week, which I consider very important, that nowadays we face this tremendous challenge in popular language on the left. What began with the feminist movement, the Orthodox Feminist Alliance, leading ultimately to Eidah, leading from Eidah to Chovevei Torah, leading from Chovevei Torah to the Rabbinic Fellowship, leading from the Rabbinic Fellowship to Sarah Horowitz, if I have the name correctly, the first Rabbah. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, and I may be totally wrong, but a person's entitled to have their opinion, and is one who had the schut in life to sit at the feet of Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, one who had the schut to hear shurim from Rabbi Kotler, one who had the schut to see the Lubavitcher Rebbe at many pogroms, to hear the Lubavitcher Rebbe, one who had the schut to speak in learning, Shailus Lahalachu with Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, I'm entitled to my opinion. And I shiver and shake that we're heading into a new type of conservative Judaism. Call it open orthodoxy, call it pluralistic orthodoxy, call it what you wish, but when we wind up on the three areas I mentioned with the developments we have, I do not sleep well at night. And the feminist area, and no one has to give me Musa on my attitude towards women. For 31 years I taught women on a collegiate and postgraduate level, and I never spoke down to a woman in my life. I don't want to go any further with my own family. Thank God, I'm a very proud man of all my daughters and what they have achieved in life. But a man is a man, a woman is a woman, and the Torah gave us different responsibilities. And in our own being, we have different goals, different gestalt, different strivings, different quests. And I don't want to be alive at a time, paraphrasing the Gemara in Yoma and Sanhedrin, when this sexual tension and sexual difference is not alive, healthy, and vibrating within us. Now, I want to show you how far it's gone. I'm holding in my hands this Friday's Makor Rishon, the magazine section. And I was shocked. Thank God I read it only after Shabbos, so it didn't destroy my Shabbos for me. It has about my Talmud, again, a Talmud from the Skolel, and everyone thinks Rav Kefet has such success, he's a wonderful Rebbe, he has so many great students. I've also had a lot of failures. And this is Rabbi Usher LePatton, who's one of the nicest people I ever taught, one of the brightest people. And frankly, I'm flabbergasted, because Rabbi LePatton was Mishuris, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, you don't know what that means. for you to be my Talmud, no one's asking you to carry me around. Thank God I walk. Thank God I can feed myself. Thank God I know how to turn the heat on. I only occasionally bother David. I need help with finding something. Someone sent me a link and look it up and see it. And all I have to is put David to work. You know, yesterday I saw Rabbi Hoffman talking about Rabbi Soloveitchik. Fine. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. So, Rabbi Lopatin literally had to carry Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik in his hands. This is the early 90s we're talking about. And he was so close to Rabbi Aaron. And now they're talking about a community he's building in Be'er Sheva. When he leaves Chicago, he's going to come to Be'er Sheva. And this community is open, and it has... they call it a minyanim shovionim or shitufiyim, where women and men cooperate together. And it gives a description. They have a machitza, but the women read from the Torah, the women say divrei Torah, the women act like chazaniyot. It's exactly vishar, exactly shira chadashah, and in my opinion, exactly conservative Judaism. So that's one level. I have tremendous fears. The other level I mentioned, this whole homosexual thrust, which began with Yeshiva University, let's not take them out of the picture, and I still have not made my peace with what happened a year ago at this time, basically. It was a little bit before this time, the month of January. I was in England at the time. But that open letter, so Matan Erda, who started basic training, God should give him strength, we're very proud of him. And he started on a rainy day yesterday, which I reminded him. I reminded those that were here. He was not here. But I started basic training on the Taina Desta in 78. It was also pouring rain. And thank God my army career turned into a tremendous blessing for me, as you'll see in my scholarly memoir. And Matan Erda should be blessed. And Matan said to me, you know, among the homosexuals, there's a high rate of suicide, and maybe this letter, fine, no one wants to throw them out of shuls, but to go and say they can be chazanim, and they're like any other Jew, and they can be a shlich tzibur, could you imagine you're sending up someone to daven ne'ila, sending up someone to daven kol nidre? And I have my deep reservations when we give it a total normative feeling. And I've been involved with lesbianism and homosexuality, and every case I was involved with was psychological. Classic cases. I can tell you the head of the Orthodox, also I have no mazel, the head of the Orthodox H's, it's my student, the head of the Orthodox lesbians, also my student, I have no mazel. And that case with the Orthodox lesbians written up in the New York Times when two Orthodox girls married, it was the wedding of the week, classic example, a maneuver who today ran away from Israel, there's a warrant out for his arrest, destroyed a girl who I know very well, she was 14 years at the time, I don't want to go into details, whatever, I can't talk about these things in public, I'm sorry, I'm a prude, call me a prude, fine, I'm in the Victorian era. Say whatever you want about me, but I can't say that, I don't, that's why I'm opposed to boys and girls studying together, because I could never understand that you could teach Masechet Ketubot Petach Patuach to a mixed group of boys and girls together. I'm sorry, I don't understand it. Anyway.
The statement does not say that it can be chazanim. It says that the community has to decide on it, and
The original stuff, because what I read was that they could even be shlichei tzibur.
Does this legitimately prevent even most admirable individuals for auto?
Okay, to say that the community has to decide. It gives it a normative feeling, and thank you for correcting me. I accept the correction, but it doesn't help me because what you're doing is you're stopping people from seeking help. It's a normative feeling. Normative is the word you have to use. Okay? It's a normative feeling that this too is at New York Times, that what's going on now in America, I don't even want to say that foundation, they're looking into Jewish organizations, how they treat all different types of sexual deviations, and if you don't treat them that they're normal, fine, it's good, it's acceptable. Anyway, this girl was totally destroyed by this yeshiva boy, and she confided in the sister 2 years older than her. So they grew up, I know the family intimately, they grew up. So the girl who was destroyed gave up religion, gave up God, gave up everything, wound up running off and marrying a guy. And the older sister hated men, became a lesbian, a classic example. And God have mercy. Anyway, no one is out to torture, to persecute. All we're out to say is, it's not normative. Person has to get help. Sometimes you can be helped. I believe the majority of cases can be helped. I speak with psychologists, I speak with psychiatrists, I speak with sexologists, and this is the feeling that I have, and I think I've seen it in my own life and interaction with students. I've seen the good. And people have challenges in life. No one is born perfect. People have challenges, mental challenges, physical challenges. We all have challenges. I can only tell you on a personal level, the greatest challenge I had in my life, very simple. My father, Zichrono Levra, had a terrible temper. I don't want to repeat, I saw my father get angry what he was capable of doing. My Rebbe, when I went in to study with the Rav, I don't want to tell you what a temper he had. The stories are legendary, and I was an eyewitness, and Rabbi Riskin in his memoir, this new book that just came out, Listening to God, it's called. It's very nice. I've already gone through. It's not available yet. It'll be available soon. I've already gone through over 100 pages. It's mamish, an autobiography through stories. It's very different than what I wrote, but it shows you my generation. As I said after class yesterday, everyone is writing autobiographies, memoirs, and halavai, we could ever borrow Lichtenstein to write a memoir. See, Steve writes emotionally with stories. I write within historic context, the scholarly memoir. Rabarin would write a philosophic memoir. It would be very fascinating. Halavai, someone is listening. What? If you put the three books together in one package, it'll be a bestseller. What one has a trilogy, what one has the other doesn't. But Steve, this Rabbi Riskin, describes the Rav. Oh my gosh, he remembered what the Rav was capable of doing in class. So believe me, I worked hard to overcome my temper, okay? And you all know the last time I got angry was 1972. And that is a fact. That was in Mikhlala. It was on the Lange case. And the girls were puzzling Rabbi Gorin, a few girls. And then I said, what am I, an idiot? I say the Baruch Hashem. The third area, of course, is pluralism, which haunts us until today. But how you can have an Orthodox yeshiva having conservative and reformed female rabbis listed on the faculty? Tell me, you're going to go to Rabbi Soloveitchik, you're going to go to Rebbe and show him this, you're going to go to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and show him this. Who are you rebbeim? Where do you draw the line? I understand pluralism. I understand we don't want to cut the communications. On the other hand, when you're teaching Torah, Torah Hashem Tamima, if you want to have a psychologist and she's world famous and she happens to have the ordination from JTS, so call a doctor. I don't stress the rabbi and their dafka. Their dafka, the rabbi stresses.
I once went to visit after coming to Yeshiva 71, 72, came back and I wanted a place to daven for the Yom Noroi. So I won't come to serve. You grant yeshiva. It's like the little leagues for the Lakeland.
Right. It's
so I asked him what goes on. He says, in the secular subject, there's no such thing as a Jew teaching secular subject. Only a God.
That's what they're here.
No, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. They don't want anybody with their day out.
No, some say that that's Rafiish. Rafiish felt either you have to be a religious Jew or you have to be a Gentile.
You just cut him
But pluralism is a very delicate issue. I'm not here, I'm a Talmud of the Rav. I understand it very well. And it could very well be in certain areas we have to cooperate, and it could very well be in certain communities. But within a rabbinic school, when you go and say pluralism, and you have the Rabbah, and you have the first Reform rabbi in the...
Okay. One of the Rosh Yeshiva NYU
One of the Rosh Yeshiva NYU is a JTS product?
Yeah.
taught it.
It's not beautiful.
He's a firm guy.
No, they say that. JTS, the rabbinic faculty. Halavai, halavai, we could have had Reb Shaul Liebman at YU. I mean, but that's what bothers me, and that's my fear, and that's why I'm frightened. And as that rabbi happens to be my Talmud, I don't want to call Rabbi Gelman of the Rabbinic Fellowship, and he's a sweet guy, and a Yerei Shamayim. And when they asked him, how come you didn't accept the rabbah? So he said, it's too early yet. You know, you can't, in other words, it's a gradual process. This is an exact quote from the JTS people 80 years ago. And that student who said to me, we changed many psukim in the Torah, why can't we change the pasuk on homosexuality? That's an exact quote from a JTS student 15 years ago when the whole homosexual issue came up. They asked him, and they said, but it's a pasuk in the Torah. I think it was in the New York Times. And he responds, the rabbis have changed other psukim. We'll find a way to change this too. Gentlemen, if this is what it's all about, I am very frightened, and that's why. Now, let me go a step further. Everyone speaks about a swing to the right. And I want to tell you, no one is more angry and more upset and more frustrated and more thwarted than Aaron Rakefet by the swing to the right. Because, frankly, I'm frightened in the swing to the right. There are elements of Reform Judaism. You know, we've become politicians. We don't think. And everything becomes a major stance, a major battle. And if we're going to let ourselves be turned off on Judaism, we have to develop new approaches. No one should be leading the battle more than our capital. And I want to spend the rest of this year talking about what bothers me, what troubles me about the swing to the right, both as a leader of Klal Yisrael, as a Rebbe, as someone who has, thank God, over 11,000 Talmidim in the classroom, most of whom are very solid, and as an individual who's been hit over the head, as I will show you. Nevertheless, with all that I'm going to show you, it will not affect my commitment to Torah Hashem Tamim Kikun Zeh. I never want to make the mistake of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And this is what Masorah is all about. This is what commitment is about. And you have to stand above the crowd. And I want to tell you something. You fellas know how to learn. You should have self-confidence. What gives me self-confidence, and no one can shake me, I everything I think out thoroughly, you'll see when I deal with Holocaust, Zionism, and Das Torah. I'm coming into a series of lectures that'll take us well into next year that are probably among my best efforts ever. And then Baruch Hashem, you have learning, I can stand the low avosh, and I invite you to join with me. Now, you talk about the swing to the right. All right, let's talk about Israel. Let's talk about Israel. There are three areas that constantly come up in modern times, and frankly, I don't understand the right wing. In all three areas, they've taken positions that are totally non-halachic. In popular language, Reform Judaism. Let's go shlav-shlav. Area number one. Who would ever dream that Rabbanim are opposed to a core curriculum, what's translated in modern Hebrew, tochnit halibah? These are words that no one taught me when I was growing up. The words didn't exist. And today, if you know modern Hebrew, tochnit halibah, core curriculum, it means the heart of the matter. Now, what are we talking about? That the state of Israel, Baruch Hashem, some of you know there's a tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer, that when you live in Israel and you pay taxes here, you are exempt from giving any charity. For one simple reason, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, what you give in taxes is a lot more than Misa. I've often said, you know, someone said to me, it was funny, going to speaking to us, so I said, the Torah requires so much Misa, Truma. I said, Torah requires so much? Halavai in Israel, we would be paying like the Torah system. And when I spelled it out, everyone was like laughing and crying. So, Dan, very, very simple. that among what the government does, it supports the schools. Everyone is pleading for money in America. Every yeshiva is closing down. Right or wrong, you all know what's going on. You all know the Aguda Convention, the OU Convention, the greatest topic, day school tuition. It's called the greatest birth control pill is day school tuition. Right or wrong? Thank God people come in Aliyah to avoid day school tuition. Two-thirds of Bet Shemesh was built by people running away from day school tuition. And I have to be honest, they're my students, they give me all this baloney, they're Zionists, they're committed. The bottom line, they have 4 or 5 children, Tanayin Hara, and they want the kids to have a Torah education. No, if the government pays for all the schools, including Chinuch Atzmai, they want to be sure the kids come out with ability to make a living. To quote the Rav from Ish Halacha, the ability to live in dignity. We don't want the kids to come out umglitz. How you translate umglitz is a questionable, it's a Yiddish word, but umglitz, unfortunate, ashlamazel, how would you translate it? It's not just without luck, it's like
a miskain.
It's like you created the situation. So the government of Israel wants to institute that every school that gets government funding should teach math, English, computer science. Gentlemen, how can you oppose that if it's an open sugyan, Masechet Kedushin, Daf Chaf Tet, Ha'av Chayav L'Lameid L'Beno, and among the obligations, Umanut. How can you oppose it? Not only that, you know what bothers me even more? What type of religion are we teaching? That if a kid is going to be exposed to mathematics, to English, to computers, he's going to walk away from Torah? We find a shalom. To me, this is the biggest smack in the face. All right, I don't say you have to agree with that, but I'm a Talmud of the Rav. If a Talmud comes to me and says, Rebbe, I'm interested in Chinese literature, I'll give him the biggest blessing in the world, become a professor of Chinese literature, I head the Israeli embassy, Chinese is very important because the Chinese are going to run the world. They're already conquered half of America financially. What? Right, and they're very interested in Talmud there. They now have a bestseller, their Talmud in Chinese.
Really?
So, but you don't have to be, I'm a Talmud of the Rav, fine, you don't have to be like me. But not to teach a kid, not to prepare him. And look how far down the ladder we have gone here. I'm holding in my hand, it's Rednisht and Zeltadine. I'm not to, here. Recognize this, HaRav Chaver Knesset Rav Chaim Amsalan. This is the renegade from Shas who dared to say that you have to prepare a kid. He wrote this country, it's a tremendous lamdan, yes, Forum Shalit and Shuvit. Here, this is a copy he gave my son-in-law for me. Kuntris Godol HaNechemeh MiYigio. That a person who works for a living is to be praised. So I don't have to tell you. The source is in here. Go through it. Ribbono shel Olam, the open Gemara, begin with Bracha Daf Lamed Hey, begin with the Torah, Meluot Haaretz V'Kivshucha, the Bracha Lamed Hey, Habeya, so many did like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Velo Hitzlichu. And those who did like Rabbi Yishmael, Hitzlichu. And Ribbono shel Olam, it is impossible when you are Sunday in Chutz Laaretz, I wear a bag over my head, not to be aggravated, no matter where I was, Melbourne, Australia, Golders Green, Hendon, Sydney, 5 towns, Beverly Hills, Hollywood, Florida, no matter where you are, Toronto, Montreal, the knock on the door, the Israeli, it's a whole act, there's a driver, he has a list, he gets 20% because he knows who to go to. One guy I know from Yerushalayim, the biggest phony alive, he has a gabbai with him. He gets 10%. They gave the Rebbe. They have a mindaf chasanama. We have a child to marry off. Have to buy an apartment. Snoring all over the world. It is a disgrace. Make a living. Go to work. Have a mishlach yad. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass Torah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Did not make a chiluk between earning a living and going to college. That was your lecture you gave in the OU.
No,
they're afraid about people going to college.
No, where are you living? Where are you living? You're living in Israel. You don't even know what's going on. Here's a guy living in Israel almost as long as I am, and Eugene doesn't know what's going on here. Talking about the Tachnit Haliba now. Talking about Hanenem Yigiyat Kapo. This is a trip. It hurts me. Because this is an open Gemara. So they'll tell you, well, it's not for this generation. So who's the Gemara talking about? What generation was the Gemara talking about? How come in other Gemaras we don't say that it's not for this generation? Then I want to come one step further. The greatest achievement of the State of Israel. Warming up.
Want to give you a glass of water?
No. Thank God we have heat here. Baruch Hashem. My office, I have rice, I have heat, I have air conditioning, it's a machaya. Try to translate that one. Wow. Gentlemen, the greatest achievement, second only to the rebirth of Torah. I mean, you have to stand in awe of what's happened, the rebirth of Torah, with all the problems, labriyot, with all the problems I'm talking about. Don't let the when we look at the individual trees, don't let it take away from the glory of the tremendous forest we have. Baruch Hashem. Second only to the rebirth of Torah is we Jews created an Ar Mitzvah Haganah Yisrael, second to none. And you have to appreciate that, what we went through in the Holocaust. When I stood at the pit in Minsk in 1981, January, where tens and tens of thousands of Jews were massacred in 42, among them my own relatives. We never heard from my relatives again, and my whole family was from the Minsk area, at least one side of the family. And I brought back that picture to Yad Vashem. It was the first picture they had of the memorial that was put up in Minsk that had Russian and Yiddish on it. It was the first memorial under the communists that had Yiddish. They wanted to erased the Yiddish, and the Jews, led by Colonel Leib Afschwitzer, lay on the ground and said over our dead bodies. And because of the Colonel, who was a World War II hero, he's in Gilo today. I don't know if he's still alive. The last time I was in touch with his family, he was quite ill. He's in his 90s today, well into his 90s. And they stood on the ground around the memorial so the communists didn't erase it. And thank God, look what we built, that a Talmud of the Kollel goes to do basic training. Your Rebbe did basic training. Reb David Miller, I believe, did basic training. I know he served in the army. Reb Aaron Lichtenstein served in the army. I don't know if he did basic, but I know he served in the army. And Baruch Hashem, we all are part of this tremendous miracle. But it's not just the army. It's the Mohammed Mitzvah. The world hates us more than 1930s. In the 1930s, Hitler hated us. The Germans hated us. Today, you got a foundation in a country in the world, Ireland. How could Ireland be so anti-Israel? Just think for a second. Ireland. England, the Queen of England, has never visited the State of Israel. She's reigning, what is it, 60 years now? Celebrate. Come and visit the shrines here. The heart of the world came from Jerusalem. I mean, it's beyond words. Obama has no concept of what Israel is. He thinks, oh, we had to give him a place after the Holocaust. It's the worst concept you could ever have. A nation that came back after 2,000 years of Galut, resuscitated Hebrew. When I walk through the streets and I hear these little kids speaking Hebrew at the age of two, fluently, I cry with joy. If Eliezer Ben Yehuda could only have seen that, he put on a beard and prayers to try to convince the Meir Sharif crowd to speak Hebrew, and he didn't succeed. And take a look what we have today, and an army, and it's a Mohammed Mitzvah. It's an open Gemara, Sota, the whole Sukkah, Mem Dalet, Nu Mem Hey. You have to be a Gaon to understand it. Look up the Rambam, Hilchot Malachim. It's Reform Judaism not to serve in the army. It's the biggest mitzvah. It's the mitzvah of our generation. If not for that, none of us would be sitting here. And what an army we have today. Has the army changed? You have no idea. One time in Rabbi Shach's ear, if you read the interview with Rabbi Ephraim Shach, in his ear, you went into the army, you came out, you lost religion, you wanted to be part of the crowd. Today, infinitely more people become Shomer Torah and Mitzvah in the army, exposed for the first time to their heritage, to religious Jews, and how the army accommodates. My son-in-law had a Shabbos phone. You understand? One after another. My grandson tells me when they have to write on Shabbos, Shomer invented a pen that you write. The ink disappears at the end of, I think it's 48 hours. It has to be checked exactly how it works. But the idea is it's not a Ktav Shel Kayam. But not only that, I'm holding in front of me the last two issues of B'machaneh. And here, this is, in each issue, they feature a soldier. Take a look what these soldiers look like. Re'ei Rikadesh. This soldier here is a Majid Stachasid. And the Rebbe gave him a bracha. He said he wanted to be an officer in the Navy. He's the first Hasidisha younger man to become an officer in the Navy. And the Navy, which one time had no religious officers, today, because the Navy, you must communicate by microphone on Shabbos. There's no other way you can reach everyone in a boat. And today they've installed public address systems that work with the Tzomet system. And these are the latest two issues. I told my wife, when I read these two issues, I thought I was reading Bamishpacha. One article after another. Diddly, these are yours now. You want to come back, right? One article after another. Now, that's two issues. The third issue I spoke about yesterday. You take the Geirut issue that exploded out of nowhere. And I don't want to repeat everything I said yesterday, but just so the lecture should be complete, there is no concept of retroactive annulment of Geirut. I don't know where they came up with this. Yes, there is a concept of someone goes to mikveh and says he's converting, and he walks away from the mikveh and he goes into a church. He's not Jewish. But if someone walks away from mikveh, and he lights Chanukah candles, he didn't eat chametz on Pesach, there is no way in the world you can annul that conversion. All right, I don't want to go into to show off my lundus now. I'll give you one little insight. What does conversion mean? Conversion, there's the formal, right? What we would call the norm, mikveh. For a man, you need mila first, or atafet damgrit. For a woman, you just need mikveh. But that's only part of it. In the mikveh, there has to be kabbalat ol malchut shemayim, kabbalat ol mitzvah. And that's why we have to educate again. And how much do you have to teach him? So there's sugyas mishas, the Gemara in Yavama, daf mem vav, mem zayin. Yes, yes.
You said that in the Tevilah, they have to have Ol Malchut Shamayim. I know that in the army, there are right. A lot of people. I know a commander of mine, he's Christian. He doesn't want to have Ol Malchut Shamayim. He doesn't want anything. He just wants to be Jewish, because everybody are Jewish.
Right, but did he convert?
I don't know, so they went to the course, but they converted the guy. That's why they're talking about the politics.
I understand. But one second, if he's still a Christian, but what they're talking about, conversions that some of them were not completely observant. This is what they're talking about. That in the army, they convert. So this is Reb Moshe Feinstein. Reb Moshe, very fascinating. Reb Moshe, you can trace the development in his thought system, because every tshuva is dated. Reb Moshe gave us a great gift by dating the tshuva and telling us to whom he wrote them. So you notice when Reb Moshe comes to America, his whole understanding of Gerut changes. And finally, in the famous trip, and by the way, all the sources are in Rakafet Aron, in Aaron Rakefet's article on Reb Meshach. I don't know if it's in volume 1, volume 2, could anyone tell me? It was originally published in Geshe, so it may be in volume 2, I don't know. Anyway, have a very fascinating article on the first 5 volumes of the Igrot Moshe. And Reb Meshach says, we have a Gemara in Klal Gadol, Samech Gimel, Samech Bet. If you're familiar with the Sugya, in Shabbos, if a convert converts and doesn't know there's Shabbat in the world, so for years he's Mechalel Shabbos, he's a shogeg, he didn't know there's Shabbat. How many Kabbalah does he have to bring? One? Or for every Shabbat, one Korban? So Reb Meshach raises the question, what kind of conversion is this? He didn't know there was Shabbat. The Tais was already raised that conversion. You know, how could it be? So they say he was living among Gentiles and no one ever taught him about Shabbat. That's the way the Rishon of Shabbat. It's Hamidgayeh Bein Akam. Reb Meshach says, but what do we see from here? See, the conversion is good. So Reb Meshach says, I'm quoting Reb Meshach now verbatim. I don't get involved in conversion in the United States, he says, but a lot of my colleagues do. By the way, Reb Meshach used to send all his conversions to my chaver, no longer alive, Rabbi Tzvi Salnitzer. I pronounce it Salnitzer the way it's fine. His father was a Talmud Mufak of Reb Baruch Berlevovich. Heshi Salnitzer grew up in the Bronx. His father had a little shtibble. He went to RJJ, but we were very friendly. He had a very hard life. I don't know anyone that went through such difficulty. Well, maybe survivors had problems, children born, physical defects, etc. His wife died eating a seed. She had an allergic reaction to a seed. She was the daughter of a big rav, Rav Marachovich's daughter. And yet he remarried and he was happy and jolly. Who knew Rabbi Salnitzer? Like he lived in your neighborhood. So you know what I'm describing. So he handled all the geiris. He was an expert in geiris. And Reb Meshach used to send his geiris to him. So he used to ask Reb Meshach, why do you send to Rabbi Salnitzer? He says, I can depend upon him. I had a geirah. I got a call from the OU that a Korean woman became my student. And she's with a Jewish man, and they want to be frum, and this guy was raised, knew nothing about Yiddishkeit, but he made heavy money on the stock market, and in his 30s he stopped working and started learning, and someone told him, go to Rakefet, and she's a Korean woman. So, and they said, when are you coming to America next? So they set up a meeting with me, with them, and I said, go here, go there. No, they went, and they're going crazy, because each rabbi just wants them to be Haredi, just wants them to live in Borough Park. Yeah. So I came, and I met with them. The first thing I said, very intelligent woman, she had a master's in English literature, she worked in a big publishing house. So I said to her, what religion were you raised with? She says, none. I said, that's the easiest conversion. How much have you learned already? Okay. I said, I'm picking up the phone. I call Heshi. Within a half year, he said, he didn't have to teach you that much, because from all my shiurim, she already knew something about Yiddishkeit. Within a half year, they converted, Shomer Shabbos, belonging to a modern Orthodox shul, and they already have children, Kanai and Hara. So that was Rav Salnitzer. So Reb Meshach says, even though I don't get involved in conversion, it was just his first yahrzeit. So let me say, Yehi Zichro Baruch, and I hope maybe his children will hear this part of the shiur. He died, in his early 70s. To me already, that's dying quite young. Let me put it that way. So Reb Meshach said, I'm quoting Reb Meshach, Ani malameir aleihem schut, Reb Meshach says. Why? He says, what does the Gemara mean? Hamid keyeh bein ha'akam. It means when a person converts, he's converting to what he thinks Yiddishkeit is. This is this concept of Yiddishkeit. You see from the Gemara, you can't teach him everything. The Gemara in your vomit say, tells the first thing you got to teach him, you're an idiot to convert. Remember what I told yesterday? How do you want to come to the Jewish people? I'm the Kutum, not them. Then what do you start teaching him? Stucker. Pay up. To be a Jew costs money. You got to know. To be a Jew costs money. You know, it's amazing, the inside of the Gemara. Push him. But then if he wants, he teaches. Reb Moshe says, who converts America? They convert. They convert to what? To what they think Judaism is. Let's take the American scene. Let's take the Israeli scene. Tell me, an American Jew, did he hear Rav Aaron Lichtenstein? Absolutely not. Did he hear Rav Shlomo Riskin? Absolutely not. Who did he hear of? Well, he heard of, for the sake of argument, politicians who were Jewish. People in Washington who were Jewish, professors who were Jewish, people who write for the New York Times that are Jewish. I want to be like them. He heard of the Israeli leaders, Golda Meir, Ben Gurion, Yitzhak Rabin. When was the last time Yitzhak Rabin was in a shul? Did Yitzhak Rabin know how to say Birchat HaTorah? Shimon Peres, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I heard Eidat Nemana. A Jew had to sit near him and show him what they're up to in their matzah. Yeah. No, Netanyahu, I'd like to hear Bibi Netanyahu give a shir shas v'paiskim. Believe me, if he gave a shir shas v'paiskim, I'd share some neis b'makom hazeh. You'd have to make a bracha shasa ribani shalom. So a person converts. So Reb Moshe's thinking, and by the way, that echoes to a certain degree Reb Chaim Moshe's thinking, it echoes many Shabbat. So you see what Reb Moshe is saying is, and this is the big argument, and it's absolute halacha l'maisa, a person converts in Israel, it's a lot easier to say he's Jewish because the atmosphere is Jewish. Everyone observes Chanukah, everyone observes Purim, Everyone observes Pesach. Everyone observes Sukkot. Everyone observes Shem Yom Kippur. Everyone knows there's a concept of Shabbos. Sonia Peres died. The press made such a big deal. She came from such an irreligious background, such a kibbutznik background, and she lit Shabbos candles. Her home was quite kosher. Yeah, she listened to Rabbanim. Evidently, she was Shomeret Shabbat as well. And the press, so everyone knows. Now, please understand me. I'm not opposed to putting down principles. In other words, mikan lahaba, to say we're only going to convert if we can be certain that you're 99%, no one can be certain, 99% sure, Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarat Mishpacha, if no one happened to convert you, I'd be the first one to sign on the dotted line. What's my proof? No? Mendel, who was the greatest machmir and conversion in the 20th century of all the great rabbanim? Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. What are you talking? The rabbi's not a posek. Don't get carried away by Rabbi. Don't make him into Das Tyre that he was everything. He was Rabbi Meir. You know what the rabbi said. Everyone calls Rabbi Meir the Rosh Yeshiva. Me, the rabbi, says, I'm the Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi Meir is the rabbi. Rabbi's tafkid is Lepsok Shailot. Who passes every Shailot for American Judaism? All right. Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook was the greatest machmir. And he instituted in South America in the Sfada community. By the way, you have it in Flatbush until today.
No conversion.
You can stand on your head. You can be a tzaddikit. You can be wearing 10 shekels, 50 tichels. And you want to convert? No conversion. They don't. By the way, it's a terrible thing. You know, the chief rabbi's daughter married a convert who's a Shomer Torah mitzvah. They live in New Jersey. They belong to an Ashkenazi shul. The Sfadim threw them out. A sister of my classmate. It's well known. I'm not saying anything that no one knows. The Katzin family from Borough Park. From Flatbush.
Where did the Rav Institute that there shouldn't be any conversion?
In Brazil, in South America, Argentina, and it carried over to Flatbush. In that kahila, they have a cherem that they reissue and reissue and reissue.
So,
What? Rav Kook gave, was among the Rabbanim who encouraged them, yes, because of the intermarriage. Yes, Mendel.
Isn't there a big split to be made between being the guy or somebody who wants to write the guy or not accepting the gear? In other words,
that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying, with the Haredi world, I could understand if they said, Mikan Lahaba, we want higher standards. But to go and say retroactively, you will know, 10,000 converts in the army or 5,000 converts, it's Reform Judaism. There's no such concept.
It's not accepted in the community, also seems unacceptable. Now, I don't want to.
What do you mean not accepted?
I don't want to badmouth a certain community I'm thinking of, but a community that doesn't allow its members to marry
converts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how that
one. Yeah, you have a problem with the Sephardic community. The New York Times had a problem with them, too. They
did it. It's not the government in general, that's one particular.
No, it's the Syrian community, right, that sent us around Flatbush. And I frankly agree with you that today the fear of intermarriage is not what it was in Argentina, and if a woman, a man, want to convert, lekabel aleihem ol malchut shamayim, how can we turn them away? Yitro, how can you turn Yitro away? And I agree with you, but I'm just showing you that if anyone wants to open his mouth and yell and shout and the swing to the right, believe me, it troubles me. But I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And here, I'll give you more examples that are enough to send you to the gas pipe. Yes, yes.
Right, there's halacha between Sephardim and Ashkenazim about conversions, right?
Well, as far as the basic halacha, there's no difference. On Hilchot Geirut, there's very little in the Shulchan Aruch. If I'm not mistaken, it's just two little simanim. Because Geirut was never a problem until modern times. In other words, anyone who converted risked their life. You know about Rav Avram ben Rav Avram Ageya, buried next to the Vilna Gaon. Now his body is lost. The communists built a soccer stadium on top of the body, Lo Aleinu. But they moved the Gaon's grave. They wouldn't let them move Rav Avram ben Rav Avraham. You risked your life. He was killed at the stake on Shavuos for converting. So anyone who converted was a real convert. Modern times, everything is open. You can convert, not convert, intermarry, marry, do what you want, pay off a rabbi, not pay off a rabbi. The world is open. So in modern times, we have tremendous problems, but there's no difference between Sfadim and Ashkenazim on this topic. Dafka Rav Kook was the biggest machmir in the 20th century.
So okay. Now, the people that there are conversions put in Brazil and Argentina and Flatbush, right?
I don't know. No, in the Sephardic community, no.
So, okay, but the Ashkenazi community, what happened?
Yeah, the Ashkenazi community, there are conversions.
If I'm not correcting, so today in Israel, the Sephardim are in charge of like conversions of Israel.
Yeah, well, from the chief rabbi, right.
So if these guys come to Israel, if a man personally converts in Brazil or wherever,
they would be accepted. Their problem is that if they want to live within their own Syrian community in Flatbush, they will not be accepted.
It's
limited to that community. But if they, as I said, the chief rabbi's daughter, I don't know how it happened, she was her brother was my classmate. Her brother had to get good Yiddish. Her brother had to learn with the rabbi. Her brother's a businessman. He didn't go into the rabbinate. It's an older brother who's chief rabbi today. And his sister married a convert who told us a total Shemesh Shabbos, but they had to move away. The community refused to accept them. You follow? So they belong to a shul in Teaneck, let's say, for the sake of argument, someplace in Jersey.
I told you, I have a friend that he converted in 1970 or something, because in Israel his mother converted or something, but I don't know, so he made aliyah and they told me, the country, they told you, you're not Jewish. That's what they told me, because didn't do it right.
That could be.
It
was a conservative conversion or reform conversion, not an Orthodox conversion. An Orthodox conversion would be accepted here. Now, and I just want to go one step further. You want to get an idea what's upsetting and what here. I'm holding the same newspaper. This is a minute that began these last 2 years. How they let people get away with this, how the Rabbanim, Gedolei Yisrael, Balei Musa, anyone with any sensitivity to human dignity, and yet they get away. This is Yatei Ne'eman. This is the Litvish world that I grew up on. I don't recognize that world today. It has gone off the path with a capital J.
You didn't explain it.
And I'm going to explain it right now. There's now a new minhag you don't mention the lady's first name. And you say, sure. And here's the name. Birchot, anyone wants, here's one copy, here's another copy. Birchot mazu tavlava vitli yudenu hadagolda rabba polima rabba Avram Rubinstein. Umishpachto shem shevitz mreu, skan rosh ha'il, the engagement of his son Menachem. May bechirei chatamidim b'yeshivat Panovich. Who's he engaged to? In bechirat kilo, no name. She's nameless. She doesn't exist. She's a ghost. She's a visage. Bat hagon Reb Shlomo Kanievsky, Rosh Yeshiva, a granddaughter of Maran Hagon Hagon Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Nina, she's a great granddaughter, Rosh Kol B'nei Avos HaKadosh Hagon Hagon Reb Yosef Shalom Al Yosef Shlita. No name. Fine, she has a wonderful grandfather, wonderful great grandfather. No name. Gentlemen, your chumash is pasul. Sammy, you opened up Sefer Bereishit. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Ribbono Shel Olam. Your chumash is pasul. How dare you? And I see this all the time. It caught on. I don't understand. How do you disgrace a woman's an individual? She has Selam Elohim. There's Adam, there's Chava. You don't get engaged to a mystical ghost. You don't get engaged to something that's intangible. And this is on the front page. And no one says, boom, no, Danny. Am I right or wrong? Am I overreacting? Or you know,
whenever the articles,
these
newspapers, whenever you see the initial instead of the name, you know, it's a woman.
Yeah, I understand. This is read this, this is from last week, this is, again, I entertain you with all the papers that aggravate me. This is from Hashavua of a week ago. Sure, they give it as a freebie. You get two freebies. It's Thursday. You get Hashavua and B'Sheva. It's worth living in Israel. They have free newspapers. You get every day Yisrael Hayom. I mean, this is mamish newspapers.
Of course, that's the way they generate their income.
Whatever, they don't have to. Today, all newspapers can be given away free. The advertisements pay for it. But Yisrael Hayom is endowed by Sheldon Adelson, and I give him all the credit in the world because he brought Olmud under. And it's he endowed it because with Yediot and Maariv, you don't know which paper is more left than the other. And thank God, Yisrael Hayom has top people, among them Semai Balei Tshuva, who now right-wing people, and Baruch Hashem, what a paper. But this is the Haredi Weekly, and Basheb is the Tzioni Dati Weekly. So here, there's an unbelievable lie. I couldn't believe my eyes, and thank God, am I the only London left in the world? I mean, what's happened? I don't know. This is Zil Kribe Raffel. And here they're talking about someone who knows Shas backwards and forwards and backwards. Every line of Taisvis, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And here was the Shaila. There was the Maral Psins. It's a famous story. Great Talmud Chacham. He lived about 200 years ago. You can look it up. And he was Machaber and Lesfarim. So he left the will, whoever, listen to the words carefully, this is the way I'm translating the will, I've seen this 1,000 times, whoever will pay for the publication of his Svarim will be blessed by him in the world to come. He will stand before the heavenly throne and fight for you. All right? So people throughout the millennium, many Svarim, this can all be checked out, again I don't know the exact figures, but I think it's over 20 Svarim, have been published, paid for by wealthy benefactors. Fine. A Shaila just came, a Gentile in Texas, Enoch Yisrael, sent a check of thousands of dollars to the proper address in Jerusalem. He wants to sponsor a sefer by the Maril Tzitz, and he's paying for it. He should pray for him in the world to come. No? The people who got the check went to Reb Chaim Kanevsky. Can they cash it? Gentlemen, if anyone came to me, I would pen a beautiful letter to that non-Jewish saint, and I would write to him, your donation has been accepted in honor and reverence. I am overjoyed that a non-Jew can appreciate Jewish scholarship and Jewish strivings. We will be happy to put a dedication in the book we will be printing, and we trust that the great rabbi who made that promise 200 years ago will pray for your well-being. Signed, Aaron Rakefet, a humble Jew and a savant of Torah. Tell me, when King Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash, do you remember his prayer?
Yeah.
No, Eugene, tell the class who he prayed for, not only the Jews, but if any Gentile sends a carbon, how much Chazal have to say about this, that we accept more from a Gentile than from a Jew. And from a Gentile we say, you'll be blessed no matter what. A Jew, we make it much more conditional. Rav Chaim Kanevsky tells them, rip the check up. You can't accept it. I couldn't believe my eyes. And he says, Rav Demario since promised only a Jew will be blessed. What do you mean only a Jew? Anyone who pays for publication. A Jew and a Gentile, they both need blessings. Imagine what a fine Gentile this is. I don't understand it. I read that. I could, and they make, and the worst part is, they're educating their kids to be anti. That's the worst part. Big headlines. Birchat Hamaral since La Yehudim Bilvad, Goy Amerikoi Bikesh Litrom, La Hadarat Sifrei Hamaral since Sheif Piach Liot Nelitz Yosha, Lemisha Yisayeh Bat Pasat Svarav, Mon Marana Gon Reb Chaim Kanevsky Shinishal Hriya, Afilo Tzot Misradiyot, Ein Lekachet Lemenu. Even for office expenses, don't take the check. Gentlemen, I don't know. You know how much Rav Ovadia has written on taking charity? There's a famous tshuva of Rav Ovadia Yosef. Look it up in Yabia Omer, taking from a reform tshuva. Mechala Achad Sheila Halacha Lamasa. And he leaves out Rav Kukman's name. I don't know why. It was a stab in Rav Kukman's back. Right, that you wrote the tshuva to Rav Yehuda Kukman, your own daughter studied in Mechala. One of his daughters, Rivka Yosef, is my student.
Misses up the shoe.
She's the rebellious daughter. She married her Kotel, graduate. Yeah. I can't even pronounce it. You can't even pronounce it. Where does she live? Where do they live?
The Rav in
Very nice, very nice. If you see her, tell her I send best regards. She was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful young lady. Yeah, very wonderful young lady. I remember he was a Hakoto boy, as I recall. So you know, you want to rebel, you want to yell, you want to shout. But the Seder, so we'll come to that. We'll come to that in the Monday class. Take my word for it. We will come to that. In the Eima Banim Smecha, take my word for it. Okay. Gentlemen, that's Israel. Nevertheless, I have a grandson sitting here. He will testify. I've raised my children. I attempt to inspire my grandsons. Thank God I succeeded. I have great already. I'll attempt to inspire them. Torah Hashem Tamima. We have problems, we have frustrations, we're upset, there's a swing to the right, but it doesn't give us any leeway, license, to change the Masorah. We are responsible to God, to the generations that came before us, and the generations that are coming after us. And now, let me come to the United States. Mendel, you got to pick this up by tape. Tell the boys in the Tiv Meir, I would be much happier if they made your class a half You'd be a better Rebbe down the line if you made the class a half hour later, because you have no idea what I'm about to get into. Okay. Excuse me?
I have an iPod, I can listen to it.
Nah, it's not the same. Don't give me your mutton machinations. Misora, as it was.
I know it's not the same, because they do come twice a week.
No, I know. And what we spoke about yesterday, I'm all enthused, okay?
Yeah,
I thought of another name too already. My mind is working on it. Yeah, I'm all enthused. Gentlemen, that's only part of it. Now let's come to the United States of America. The great America. This country's, I have extra copies here, which if you want to take later, it's a Kol Kore collection. It was put in every mailbox that I know of in Jerusalem. People saw it, and they figured it's a schnorrer book asking for money. You don't know about this? They threw it away in the wastebaskets. I saw tremendous Pasquales go up in Hanof and Geula Meisharim. If you got a book in this color, it's not a request for money. It's Divrei Torah on how to live. Take it out of the garbage and study it. Chas v'chalila, you should throw it away. And then they gave it out again. I don't know where they get the money. And there's a book like this. I know to get a book published today, it took me 2 years to see it through from the OU to the Geffen, Rebbeinu Shalom. You don't know what. It was not simple. No one has money. Everyone yells it costs money. I'm still not finished. David, we got to deal with the pictures. You have to have a big battle ahead of us. Take my word, Fred. Lo aleinu. Excuse me, take my word for it. You've seen already what goes on. All right, now they have a little bit of office people want to buy, so they're a little bit more confident they're going to make money out of the book. Baruch Hashem.
You know what they do now? The authors put up separate web pages
with
all the stuff
that
they
didn't make it. What they, no, I'm not putting up web pages. I'm fighting what has to go on. Anyway, I don't know where they get the money. Now, this is a Kol Kore about Sniyut, about how women and men should live together. Now, this wouldn't bother me. If you told me that this came out for Geula, for Mea Sharim, I have no problem with it. You know what bothers me here? All the Lakewood Reshi Yeshiva are signed on. And Haskama. Here it is. The names. Aryeh Malkiel Kotler. You know who that is? That's Rav Shneur's son. Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood is a triumvirate there. Yeruchim Olshin. It's Michael Olshin's cousin. Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood. One is a Rosh Yeshiva in Torah Shraga, and one is a Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood. David, you didn't know that?
No.
Where are you living? Harab Yeruchim Olshin. How many Olshins are running around? And Harab David, I didn't say Harab, it doesn't say Rav here. It's not that I want to be disrespectful, because I all three of them are Lamdanim. I trust, I hope. David Tzvi Shustal. They're Machatonim, married into the family, and they're signed on to this book. When you read the book, I want to see one Lakewood wife live in accordance to what they signed on to here. Clothes, totally covered. By day, by night. A woman goes to sleep, she has to have stockings on. Talking again. She walks off the bed, has to totally cover herself. I don't want to go into great details. Kisui Rosh, every last hair has to be covered. Peya Nachrit, not happy about it. But if she's going to wear a Peya Nachrit, only a simple wig, not one rak peyot b'tzurat pshuta v'gam lo aruchat, not a fancy one. You know why they can't come out against a shaker altogether? Rav Shach refused to sign on, and I give Rav Shach credit. He was an honest individual, and they asked Rav Shach, why don't you sign on? Everyone signed on, this one, that one, the other one. And Rav Shach said, Ichab gizend de chafes chayim shrei un zi had gigani mit a shetel. I saw the Chafetz Chaim's wife, and she wore a shekel. So they can't ask her entirely, but all right, this is all right, this I understand. Clothes, dresses, like our mothers wore throughout the millennium. Chas v'chalila, not to wear any clothes that shows the outline of the feminine body. V'dava zen echshav pritzut gedola v'chamura. Not to wear clothes where the color attracts attention. Jewelry, not to walk in the street with perfume on, because strange men will smell the perfume. Not to, what would be the word, color their eyebrows, because that will attract attention. It goes on and on. Actions of women, not to raise her voice in the public thoroughfare. Men shouldn't be attracted to women speaking. And certainly not to laugh or speak about something that is funny. And when women go in the street, they should practice, even with their own friends and their own family, b'kol namuch ba'ofen shelo yishma kola la'ovrim, that none of the people going by should hear them speaking. Lou, when was the last time you were in Lakewood? When was the last time you were in Borough Park? When was the last time you were in Flatbush? When was the last time you were in Pomegranate on Coney Island Avenue? And the husband and wife were calling each other, Schmettel, come here, take a look what they're selling. Open up the book and tell her your husband lives in Lakewood. How dare you speak in public? Your voice is being heard. Then it goes on and on. Boy, do I love this. Chas v'chalila, a woman should walk in public licking a popsicle or eating what they call ice cream or anything else. And they quote the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Mem Amud Bet, ha'ochel b'shuk dome lekelev. Tell me, why is Rav Kefet so thrilled with that Gemara and that little story? Diddly, you didn't read Sabu's scholarly memoir. When I came in Aliyah and I left America, I grew a beard. How can you come in Aliyah, live in Yerushalayim, and not have a beard?
And you walked in the shuk, you bought a falafel.
I bought a falafel, not in the shuk. You remember Rehov Yafo, I was walking on Rehov Yafo, and some guy with a black-looking guy says to me, Ochel b'shuk, dome lekelev. At the end of the 3 weeks, did I get rid of that beard quickly? You only saw it one more time. I'm not talking lo aleinu, I had to have a beard, but one more time. You know when? When I went in to do basic training. You grow a beard, you don't have to shave in the army. So I came into the army, Baruch Hashem, with a 30-day beard. And no one said a word. The minute I finished basic training, I went back to the era of the Besamim Rosh. Yes, yes.
Is there one word in this entire book addressed to men?
No. This is all for women.
So Sneed doesn't apply to men at all. They don't have to worry.
You want to write the book? You want to write the book? Fine. But you haven't heard anything. I challenge my students in Lakewood to show this book to your wives. I don't want to be in the room when the explosion takes place. There's nothing. When a woman walks in the street and men are coming down, she should walk on the side. And ubeklal yesh li isha lalechet berechov tamid bitzad mitam tzniot. You walk on the side. Some women, I have a patent. I want to get wealthy. When a woman goes out of the house, she sprays herself. She becomes invisible. Boy, would that sell big. 2 hour spray. You're invisible. You can walk anywhere. Wow. I can't believe what I'm reading here. And then, women shouldn't go out at all. This is based upon the Rambam, right? Remember the Rambam? Hilchot Ishut, once a month, twice a month. You know, Rakhep Etzvot, why does a woman have to go out twice a month? Because the first time there was a Shiloh with the Tefillah, there might have been a Chitzitza, so she has to do a Tefillah again with Sat Safek. And he says, better woman shouldn't go out at all. The Isha lo targil atzma latzeit harbei shen yofli Isha ela lashevet bizvayot beita. The greatest beauty of a woman is to remain in the corners of her home. And then it goes on to the separation of men and women, that they should be so totally different, that smachot, that even where they enter, even where they leave, they should not be able to see each other. And men shouldn't wait for their wives at the woman's entrance, but make a meeting place a block or two away. And when you have photographers, women should photograph the women, and men should photograph the men. That's right, Kepet. Are you quoting me? You're quoting me. And when a woman goes to a doctor, she should be mapid on Yichud. Ask a rav before you go how you have to behave with the doctor. And by the way, you know that today in Israel, if you're religious and a woman and it's a male doctor, you can always request to have a secretary or a nurse come in and be with you, so there shouldn't be any shayla of yichud. Oh my gosh, when a man wants to speak with a woman, he should not call her by her first name. And alachat kama v'kama, if she's a married woman, it's against all the rules of tzniyah to call her by her first name. And right here in this building, I know I've heard a rabbi say to Sherry, Mrs. Levy. And I have to tell you, I am floored, because Mrs. Levy is a drop older than my grandchildren. And Rebbeinu Shalom, to me, she is Sherry. For me to call her Mrs. Levy would be a slap in her face and her front, Mrs. Levy. Bani Shalom, where have you gone, Mrs. Levy? You understand what I'm referring to? Where have you gone, Mrs. Robinson? Bani Shalom, what are we talking about?
This is not the community where the women have to go out and work because and men
are. One second. And when we refer to a lady, by then she is the daughter of. No first name is to be mentioned. But this is nothing. This is nothing. Now it gets involved in preparing women for Panasa. What you just said, Nachum, we're talking about, we're living in a world where women have to go out, have to support their husbands, and what should they be trained for? My dear students, I know many women whose husbands learned or learned in Lakewood. Many of these women have masters. Some of them are doctors, medical doctors. and they support their husbands in dignity. The husbands later can be Rosh Yeshiva, can be Mashkichim, can work for the OU. The OU, by the way, is created, you have to know, Hashkacha today, because of the great demand, not just from Jews, but from Gentiles. And that the kosher food industry is an unbelievable multi-billion dollar industry. It has created fabulous jobs for Yeshiva boys. You have Rabbanim, Machshirim, Mashkichei Kashrut. It's an unbelievable, blessed turn of events in America. And you know what's happened? They can't get enough people. Now they're reaching out. Now you tell me, who's running seminars for women to be Mashkichei Kashrut? And Rabbi Heinemann began it. The OU is continuing it. And I saw with my own eyes in Las Vegas, one of the establishments, the Mashkiach Kashrut is Mashkicha Kashrut, whom I yet know from the years she lived in Jerusalem, and believe me, I know this lady well. I'll eat off the floor where she will give Hashkacha. I saw it in South Africa, and this is Reb Moshe's famous Jew. Little Danny, you know what I'm talking about? Kamel Kosher from Chicago. Rabbi Zemba, it was Reb Menachem Zemba's nephew, gave the Hashkacha. He died. It had even survived. He died young. Who knows what he went through? They're talking this must be in the 60s, early 60s. And the Rebbetzin wanted, she needed Panasa. So Carmel Kosher offered the Rebbetzin to be the Rabbanut HaMachshira. And they turned to Reb Moshe and he said, absolutely. I don't have to tell you with Kashrut. Who do you depend upon? The Rebbe often said, when it comes to Pesach, if we depend upon the Shulchan Aruch, no home would be kosher. Today, what, women, Pesach? So here, I can't believe what I read here. What do you teach the women, all right? Computers, accounting, and he says, no, this is very bad, because all these type of professions, you have to come in contact with men. And he says, the best thing is to teach women to be teachers. No, you all know there's a limit how many teachers you can absorb. And not only that, not everyone is cut out to be a teacher. How many times have I said this, Ephraim, don't be carry, just relax and get some good advice for your wife to be. How many teachers have destroyed lives because they were not cut out to be teachers? Teaching is a skill. If you don't love children, if you don't know Kengagir Abbanim Dibra Torah, don't desecrate the calling. It's not a profession. Teaching has to be a calling. Baruch Hashem, I told you in my life, from the time I was 12, I had three goals in my life: to be a Gaon, a Tzaddik, and a Melamed. I never became a Gaon, I never became a Tzaddik, but Baruch Hashem, I did become a Malamed. Okay, I say that in my book, by the way, I think I quote that. Baruch Hashem. And he says, but not everyone, there are not enough positions for teachers. He says, well, we have to teach women professions they can do in the house. Gentlemen, these are the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood speaking. You know what the two professions they mention? Melechet Habishu Vaha Tefirah. We have to teach women how to cook and how to sew. And Sammy Zimmerman, my dear Tefirah. Sammy Zimmerman, 1 second. Sammy Zimmerman learned in the Kollel. His wife has take out food from the house, dresses. Fabulous. There's only one problem. She's a medical doctor, second to none. So she does sew and cook. She puts together medicines. That's cooking. Cooking up a recipe of medicines, a mirsham. And she, lo aleinu, at times she has to sew bodies. So Baruch Hashem, Sammy, you have fulfilled the dictum of the can you imagine? She answers shilas, right or wrong. She's a what do they call them? What's the word they use? A yoetzet hilchatit. No, but could you believe what they're writing here? And you haven't heard anything yet, Ephraim. Don't listen to this. You marry a normal girl. Don't get all upset that you're getting all contorted. Listen to this, and the chutzpah And if she only learns how to sew and makes her own dresses, this is enough. You save money. That way, she's not working outside of the house, but you're making money because you don't have to buy dresses. Then, of course, I needn't tell you, he goes into the chinuch, you have to give the children. And he says, when it comes to the women, it is very wrong, because the schools for the women have become intellectual schools. And you all know what's happened in America today, and in Israel as well. You take a Beis Yaakov, you can't pawn off a curriculum on a girl that's not intellectually challenging. It has to have some meat and some potatoes, because we're growing up in a world where you learn, you know, you feel, you see, you're influenced. And here they're yelling, no, the main education for women has to be halacha lemaisa, not intellectuals, not peirushim on chumash, not going into divisions and subdivisions. Treat them to yirat shemayim. This is what they need. This is the way our grandmothers were educated. This is the way women were educated throughout the millennium. Don't overdo the intellectual aspect of their education. Gentlemen, I needn't tell you. You want to rebel, you got all the reasons in the world to rebel. Chas v'chalila, we should throw out the baby with the bathwater. This is America. This is Israel. What's worse is, it's a small world today. Originally, you could publish a kuntus like this, give it out of Mei Shirim and Gula, no one else looked at it. Today, whatever's published, the internet, everyone knows what's going on. And there's a famous Gemara, Shaset HaKelev. You know, you get a dog heated up to do damage, you may very well be responsible, because this is not just grammar. You put that dog into action. I needn't tell you, if you're in the army or the police force and you deal with dogs, you know how dogs are trained, and at times they can be man's best protection. Problem here is that the extremism inspires extremism. One world feeds off the other world. The development, the chumrah, you just can't limit it. Because the minute it's picked up, you don't use women's names in Israel. I would imagine already in the American Haredi press, you're probably on that level. You can tell me, I'm being told I'm correct. Where did it begin? Yeah, it began. It's copied. It's emulated. One feeds off the other. And so much has happened that it shocks the sensitive soul of a person who loves Torah Hashem Tamima with all his heart and soul. And you have to understand, what are the results? We lose so many. Raketet has said 1,000 times over, if anyone had the perfect system, how to raise young men and young women, he would be the first one to stand online to join. Even if it meant growing a beard, having payas, wearing a shtreimel, whatever you want. Torah is more precious to me than anything in the world. But you see what's happening. I don't have to go further. You don't even know about this. In America, there's a couple, a man and woman, living together, raised in Satmar. She was married before, walked away from the marriage. They're producing movies. She poses totally naked above the waist in the movies. Romeo and Juliet. A woman raised in Satmar. A man raised in Satma. Menuvalim Sheba Menuvalim. Year and a half ago, Erev Sukkot, Yediot had a tremendous article on two women raised as in Ger and where they're at today with pictures that were pure pornography. So, you know, you have to approach with seichel. The Chafetz Chaim already said, I don't have to quote to you, the Chafetz Chaim in Likutei Halachot on the Sugya in Sota. Women go to gymnasium today. Women exposed to the big world. He already was matir, Torah Shebichtav, and a lot more. Nowadays, we're way beyond women going to gymnasium. Women go to college. Women go to graduate school. How can you tell a woman that devote yourself to cooking and cleaning and sewing chickens and dress in something that is seamless, shapeless? And 1,000,000% in favor of tzniut. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not rebelling. Chas v'chalila. But there has to be respect and understanding and dignity and all that goes with it, and not to speak in public, not to laugh, not to eat ice cream, not to suck a popsicle, not to chew gum. Where are we? And this is signed on by three Rosh Yeshiva from Lakewood. All right, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the people I know from Lakewood, the Rebbetzins I know from Lakewood, maybe that's from a different generation. Maybe today they dress like this, go like this, think like this. I don't think so. I just had a Talmud get married to a medical doctor. He's a Lakewood boy and she's a Beis Yaakov girl. And a very brilliant lady who probably will be an absolute terrific medical doctor. But Baina Shalom, a swing to the right? Absolutely. We react against the swing to the right? Of course. But within the context of Torah Hashem Tamima, Chas v'chalila, we should break the boundaries. My dear students, to reiterate, I haven't hit the paid deck yet. That's next week. Next week, it's 99,000 erased, because the Rebbe will beat the hell out of himself. A lot of good material next week, and then we can close down and start sailing Holocaust Zionism. To reiterate, what do we do today? We did a great deal today. First of all, I finished up what my fears are with Chovevei Torah. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that in 50 years I can go to Chovevei Torah and give a shayur there and be happy. God forbid, I'm not opposed to innovation. I'm not opposed to broadness. I'm not opposed to acculturation. But I am opposed to changing Torah Hashem. And I'll come to that next week when I deal with the Mesorah and add some thinking to all that was published by Rav Heschel in the latest issue of Jewish Action. You talk about the swing to the right. So I spoke to you about Israel. I gave you three major areas where you can choke if you think halachically, if you think Teredic. We spoke about the core curriculum, we spoke about the army, we spoke about Gaelic, the entire question of yelling and shouting, a banner, a slogan, a forism, a sisma, Hafkat Gaelic Lamafreya. Words like that never existed until a few years ago. We turned to America and I showed you a beautiful Kol Rei, which wouldn't bother me if it was given out in Mei Sharim. Fine, women dress like that, women cook, women are happy to be at home. Fine, if that's what you're happy, not to have a first name. Habechira nitna, harashut nitna, there's freedom of choice. Who am I to come and tell you, live like Aaron Rakefet or Eugene Singer or Sammy Zimmerman?
Doesn't work in Williamsburg either.
Yeah, I'd say that Williamsburg certainly is already way beyond Mei Sharim. Way beyond. But Lakewood, Russia, Yeshiva, talking about the Yeshiva, talking about the Litvisha, the Kalta Kletska, talking about Masharaiti Bechayai, Rebbeinu Shalom. And what? Reb Reisa Zalman's wife was not a public figure? And Reb Aaron Cutler's wife? And But nevertheless, we do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Wouldn't miss this coming Sunday shear for all the people rioting in Egypt tomorrow. We go a drop further with the cutting off of the nose, and we come to one of the tshuvot that were left out of the second edition of the B'Samer Rosh because it was so provocative. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, a good part of the shir is devoted to one book, Rabbi Scherer, the worst investment I ever made, because this book totally denuded, slaughtered, lies, took away the greatest accomplishment of Malcolm and Aaron Rakefet, and just published fairy tales. And they can get away with it. It is beyond words. Gentlemen, I wouldn't miss the next two shiurim for all the rice in China. And finally, let's give out the freebies. I admire Chabad. I admire Chabad. The women don't need a Chovevei Torah. They're now in the middle of a Shluchat conference, and you should see the pictures of the most sophisticated, elegant, learned Yirei Shamayim that one would ever want to see. Boy, if I had to do it again, Chabad might have a convert in Aaron Rakefet. Anyone who has a Chabad gene in them, you're welcome. The issue of brain death. Eidut Nemana on the Rav's opinion, Rabbi Pendler, Rabbi Wolfish, an entire article by an expert, also about Yumi Wolfish, who lives here, who gives Eidut Nemana that the Rav depended upon Rabbi Moshe David Pendler. One second. This, anyone who has a feeling, gentlemen, is there anyone here with a little bit understanding of Hasidus? Do you understand what happened? The Satmar Rebbe Rebarin got stuck on a plane, the snow, they couldn't land, they had a detour. He needed a minion to say Kaddish, he needed Satmar kosher food, and Chabad came to his rescue. All the pictures are here. And closer to home, Rav Asher Weiss's Shayurim, Hebrew and English, of last week. Until we meet again in health and happiness, with all best regards to Matan David, you hear? Das Vedanya. Thank you very much.